So this is the fourth survey we've done. It's important because when we started this, everybody laughed at us. First of all, they said, well, why do we want to know what the youth of Africa think? This is not going to be valuable. And I always believed that the truth about Africa is told by the youth. Why? Because they are not conditioned to tell you what you want to hear. And if you really want to be able to make policy, if you really want to be able to invest in Africa, if you really want to understand the continent, you have to understand what these people think and believe. And because this is a generation that is not prepared to sit by quietly and let their leaders determine their future without their voice being heard.
In the survey, the youth, I understand, were also expressing concern about external influence of their leaders in Africa. They talked about the growing influence of China and, in some instance, the United States and subsequently Russia. Talk to me about the findings.
In the past, the United States owned a lot of the mind share of these people. And it's interesting because the U.S. is not present in Africa in terms of affecting the everyday life of Africans generally. But U.S. American culture, the American way of life, the American value system was what was aspirational to most Africans. But we're in the second version of the Cold War right now. And that is happening in Africa. We are in the middle of a battle for the hearts and the minds of the population of Africa. And everybody is talking about governments being captured by Russia and China and a political landscape being created which excludes the United States and excludes Europe. But that's not what's happening. There is an active campaign by Russia and China to capture the hearts and minds of the populations of Africa. Before COVID, our survey showed that the U.S. dominated cultural influences, aspirational influences. After COVID, the switch was 180 degrees in favor of China. And there was an interesting reason for that. In the absence of active collaboration, what was left? The roads the Chinese built, the stadiums the Chinese built, the telecommunications system the Chinese built, the healthcare system the Chinese built, and the West was completely absent.
So what do they want their leaders to do, according to the survey? What do they want their leaders to do in terms of these influences that seem to be growing?
So the picture is complex because this is one thing that's not in the hands of African leaders. In my opinion, and it's very much a personal opinion, it is totally unfair for the West to impose on Africa collaboration when there is no policy of investing and developing the continent. Promises are made all the time. Those promises are not kept. It's one thing to pledge investment money into Africa. It's another thing to deliver it. You know, we're transforming most African leaders today, and most populations in Africa don't want aid. We're no longer a continent that either values aid or needs aid. What we need is exactly what's built the rest of the world, and that's investment.
But what happens with the issue of democracy and rule of law? Because, you know, the youth said they want to have a say in how they are governed, and they also want to have a say on who leads them.
So this is fascinating, because the survey has shown us over years that in principle there is strong support for the concept of democracy, but there's also a very strong sense that democracy is failing Africa. Now, the style of democracy that we currently have in Africa is a Western style of democracy. Terms are short, there's pressure on leaders to move on fast, and this isn't working for the continent. The youth are saying it's time to start looking at an African style of democracy. Now, I don't know what that is, and they're not telling us yet.